I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Thank you for joining us. We will get our first official Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock tonight. So we will lead you all the way up to that right here in Double T 97.3. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is open, 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, reactions to overall a great Red Raider weekend that we will get plenty into today.
Absolutely.
Take us anywhere with the mobile apps brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News now and on YouTube. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Portman behind the glass, taking care of us. Gentlemen, how were our Friday, Saturday, Sunday combos?
Spectacular, big boy. That was a good weekend. Fun weekend.
Yeah.
Minus the losing 2 of 3. That was, the weather got progressively better.
Yes.
Friday night was rugged. Woof.
You've turned into my my weather report. I just go off what you say. So again, you could really mess with me. I think you undersold just how cold it was going to be.
Well,
with
part
your
of
reports.
It's just, part of the deal is trying to have a little mental toughness and ahead of the
What's
deal.
What's that?
Not. You kind of part of us convincing yourself all the right things, mm-hmm. but then you put and obviously we lost the game, so that part stunk. But the
yes,
you also lose it in 22-8 fashion or whatever. But above all else here, it's the 3 hour and 49 minute or whatever. That was a slow bleed there, but yeah, that really and I. Really nice weather after those two. After that deal. And, I've talked to you about a special day in 2019. And it also involved indoor track. But it's the day that Tech Baseball beat Kentucky in Lubbock. I guess that would have been Gio and I doing that game, maybe on Fox Southwest or whatever. And mm-hmm. then at that time, and we're reporting scores kind of off the internet or whatever about the indoor meet. And it was the Big 12 indoor meet, the first one over at, I believe that's right, I think it was the first year at the Sports Performance Center, and they're setting records. Like, mm-hmm. they're going to score 100 and, however points and just wasted the field mm-hmm. that day. And then we all leave there and go over to the arena. Hoops was hosting Kansas that night, and they smoked them. Like, it was a game where Tech got out to a, 15-point lead early, like 22-7, and just the place
was
bat
crap.
That was
the game, one of those magical nights where everything and like good shots and great offense. It wasn't like just like pulling up from half court jacking up shots, but like the offense was incredible and just hitting every sort of three that you could. And because of the offense you were running, and it was like one of those like you knew in the first half. That game was going right. to be a blowout.
Well, and it's unlike the other day, which the other day you're up 16-3 or whatever it was, and 16 I think it topped out in the first half, and Baylor did what you want to do. It's what we were hoping we'd do against Texas a couple weeks ago, where you're like, all right, just cut this thing back down to 10, mm-hmm. 9, 11, and it went from 12-point lead to Texas. 5 minutes left up to 24, and that's what you're thinking. All right, Kansas, and this again, we're talking about a game 5 years ago, mm-hmm. go close this thing down, it'll be a ball game. And it just never happened. And this deal the other night was you know, incredible that Baylor comes all the way back. You look over there and everything's getting called on this night, which was,
oh my gosh,
interesting. And
yeah, so we've,
but we're,
I've
the
got
ones,
my own thoughts on that,
we're thin,
that I could,
yeah,
complain about for like an hour.
We're the thin roster, but you look up there at one point and we've got three dudes with four fouls on the floor. It's like, fellas, this is it, man.
And two of them being the like the part of the reason of why Baylor was able to come back is because your offensive momentum, it was a team effort, but it was being driven by both Pop Isaacs and Darian Williams. And that's not shocking because those guys are a couple of guys that can facilitate the offense, especially when they're on. And as soon as you lose them for that extended amount of time, and the third foul on both of them, like for my count, as far as keeping up with them, snuck up on me there in the first half. Oh, my gosh. Like they have to play, and they know this. They have to play so careful. And when you mention a lighter whistle, especially with what you've been playing with and against all
felt
year
like
long
it,
in the Big,
yeah,
12, it was dangerous territory. And then your offense just sputters out for a little bit with both of them off. And I thought it was perfect that whenever you got your traction back offensively was who's scoring. Pop Isaacs coming back in the game, hitting a three. Very next one, Darian Williams hitting a three. And I think Chance McMillan hits the third three whenever you refine separation. But, man, you want to talk about a game that you have a big lead like that, and then it wasn't an uphill climb, but you could just feel the tension.
Sure.
And then you're doing the game. Okay, you need them to come back and produce the level that they were before they were in foul trouble. Oh, and also don't foul. Like I mean the
right.
Ultimate. And it was don't foul, but now it is Ole defense.
I mean, we're, you know, at that point you're going, hey, EY's on the floor again. Another, you know, we talked about this a month ago. You're going, oh, yeah, maybe you want him back. You know, he's too young to give up on him. And now you're like, oh, yeah, definitely need that guy back. You know,
yeah,
like,
no doubt. Because
it feels like the more he plays, uh-huh, he's doing the Jennings thing. You know, we're mm-hmm, what we would have said about both of those guys early, you know, Jennings gets playing time and then the whole thing gets a little bit cleaner. You know,
By the way, unsung hero from the win against Baylor to me, Robert,
yep,
Jennings.
I agree. What, 8-7?
Yeah.
It was like, it was all good stuff. And hey, the other one, though, I was going to say, I was thinking that after Baylor tightened that game up, it was two run out threes or a transition threes rather by Kerwin. I thought were two of the essential ones to open that thing back up. And it felt like that was when the crowd started to breathe again and just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was predictably the front end of a spring break crowd, and so there were some empty seats, but that place was charged up.
Oh, the
it was
atmosphere
awesome. Baseball
was
awesome all weekend. It was just a good weekend, man.
Boy, Saturday, if you got to do the pairing of went to that game, then at whatever point in time you got over the basketball game, plus on top of that mid-basketball game, you get the track and field announcement. That's a pretty dang good Saturday. It's Tech Talk and Double T.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is the juice here on Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. How do I put this? I'm very excited. I'm going to be in a sugar rush regardless. I have a treat surplus over here. Is that how you would describe it? Shout out to shout out to you for the Sour Patch Kids,
mm-hmm,
and shout out to Shelly for, I knew she would, but holding up her end of the bargain for the opening line being in favor of Tech. The little bet we had going on for Texas Tech versus Baylor, the opening line.
Oh,
yeah, the icy bet. I won.
And so you and so Tech was favored.
Yes, point and a half.
Really?
So I knew she would, but shout out to Shelly, thank you very much. I'm going to.
I just wasn't sure about the bet. I mean, like I didn't have a strong enough feeling about it. I mm-hmm, I thought Baylor would be favored, but
that makes
it
a
Vegas know what they're doing.
Perfect, yeah, no doubt. A perfect run there where they were a home favorite for every single game this season, and it held true as you mentioned there on Saturday. Red Raider basketball took down Baylor as they end their regular season on a three-game winning streak. And out of it, with the end of the regular season, you got some awards, Gus. A trio of Texas Tech players earned 2023-2024 Phillips 66 All-Big 12 Men's Basketball Awards. Darian Williams, Pop Isaacs, and Joe Toussaint secured selections. Joe Toussaint on the honorable mention list. Darian Williams and Pop Isaacs, All-Big 12 third team. Darian Williams also found his name on the All-Big 12 newcomer team. Darian Williams also this week swept the final Big 12 Newcomer of the Week and Player of the Week honors. So, you know, made up for that mistake earlier in the year where they gave both to Jaden Nunn after he had,
right,
you know, one of the best nights of basketball we've ever seen in the conference. So a good ending to the regular season for them as they now turn their attention to the Big 12 Championship, rolling with all sorts of momentum. They are the four seed. They will play on Thursday. If I have the bracket right, it is between UCF, Oklahoma State. Winner will advance to face BYU, who has a bye. And then the winner of that game is who you will play on Thursday, 11:30 tip there in Kansas City.
Probably BYU. I mean, that would be the highest seeded opponent in our little stretch of the bracket.
Yeah. If it was chalk BYU, I wouldn't be floored if UCF made its way through that, especially if it's the UCF that played well on the road against TCU and won to end their regular season. But, I mean, if it's chalk, yeah, it's going to be BYU. Red Raider Track and Field. They got themselves an indoor national championship, Gus. It is the second national championship for the Red Raiders under Wes Kittley, the first time indoors. The top five teams had Texas Tech winning with 50.5 points. Arkansas was behind them, 41. Florida with 39. Northern Arizona, 31. And North Carolina way down at 26.
How about we just talk to Wes Kittley himself at 5 o'clock? How about we just get Wes Kittley to call into the show? Oh, wait, we already booked that about 2 hours ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Wes Kittley's going to be on the show at 5 o'clock. First caller to Tech Talk since, 2022. And we're going right to the top. Wes Kittley, 5 o'clock. Book it.
Book it.
Tweet it. Do all the things. Be sure you're tuned in at 5 o'clock, top of the hour. Coach Kittley's going to get on here and talk about his Saturday. Yeah. Actually, his Friday and Saturday.
Maybe we are excited to talk to him.
We got a lot of stuff we got to get into 8 minutes.
yeah, no doubt. And then for baseball, they do lose their first series, falling in the rubber match to Texas 9-7. They lost Friday 22-8, and then Friday, and then won on Saturday, 7-2. You can hear a recap of that tonight with Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock right after we're done at 6 o'clock, live from Rudy's. So you can either listen to it on Double T97.3 or go to Rudy's, get yourself a question in, get yourself some barbecue. It's always a good time. And then 6 o'clock over on 100.7 The Score, another edition of the High School Fan Zone, LISD tonight, Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, and Monterey. Coaches from there will join Garrett Luft here in the First United Bank studio. And that is the juice. We'll get into this a little bit later too, Gus, but you're aware of one. I don't know if you're aware of the second one.
All right.
But we have two emails to review today.
Oh, yeah, I knew. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I assume they're both tethered to the final end of the regular season kind of hoops thing.
They are tethered to the end of the season, and they are tethered to the full list of Big 12 awards that came out. So we'll see how we did there. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can hit us up there as well. Gus.
Yes.
Dirty play at first.
He probably the best, and this probably isn't what anybody wants to hear. My assumption is, first of all, and this is a question I would like to, I hope Hax would ask this. I don't know if Hax is listening. I don't know how to get a text to the show. I know there's a way to do it. I don't know how. I'll be a little late getting to Rudy's, or I would ask it myself. If I was hosting, I would ask it. I think the review, or my question would be, was the review following the little collision at first, mm-hmm, a review looking at malicious, whatever. And Tim used the word in the post-game media, malicious. Mm-hmm. I think the phrasing was malicious intent, I think. I thought that they went in and reviewed that. Because he was out by two steps.
Sure.
So I didn't, that they all went in and watched the video told me that they're not in there reviewing safe out. Now, they did come out and go, he's safe, but they also didn't go and, point to number eight and toss him or whatever. Gavin was a little loose into the line. Mm-hmm. Probably thinking, hey, this is a routine play. He's out by two or three steps. I'm okay. But he was a little loose and kind of floated beyond the bag into the line. Could Ding Dong have pulled up? Yeah.
I'm going to call him Ding Dong.
Yeah.
And out in the center.
Did he? I know. I just went blank on it. Good player, by the way. Really, really good freshman player. But could he have pulled up? Sure. Absolutely. Could he have backed off of that, spun off of it, glancing blow? Yeah. He was pouting because he had just gotten jammed and, crappy at bat. And and so I thought, but it's probably best that – I'll tell you this. I felt wild. I mean, because I know there's been a lot of comparisons just in a little bit I've been able to listen today, a lot of comparisons to that in Cunningham. To me, the Cunningham play was about six times more malicious and just –
Gasparino.
There you go.
Sorry.
The Cunningham deal was way worse than Gasparino in my book. Not even close, in fact. But
I would agree with that. But looking at it.
Say,
sure, sure. And we'll keep going with it. Just to me, just looking at it, you can tell that he had time to not do what he did.
Right.
There was an active decision in there. It's like the intrusive thoughts. One, and he pushed him in the back. And I get there's a base path part in this discussion. And we'll, like I said, we'll sure. round this out on the other side. But the Brock Cunningham one was way, way worse to me.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, that was one just from the actual physicality of it, full on tackle.
Yep.
And then it was a bigger safety issue when you add in the table and streaming down, throwing your shoulder into
full
a chest.
Feed.
Yes,
absolutely.
That doesn't mean to me that the Will Gasparino play was like he was an angel on it or he did nothing wrong.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. You can also take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Portman behind the glass, taking care of us. Gus, we were discussing, we had a question on the chat line, of the play at first with Gasparino. And I was going to let you round out your thoughts on it.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm going to, something I said the day after the Cunningham deal, I'm going to reiterate and completely leave out the deal yesterday. Cause I'm not saying yesterday was a nothing burger, but it was, in my mind, they were close to the Gasparino deal. But I'm going to go back to the Cunningham deal. And really, this is a question for the basketball, whatever. Culture, whatever it is, how does a play like that, merit an ejection, but zero suspension and all that stuff, but Beckel can say, hey, go sit the bleep down, and you're getting a four-gamer, big boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's 56 games. I don't care. There was a nothing. There was a nothing for a play that could have broke a fibula or whatever. I mean, just
– collarbone.
What the hell? Yeah. I mean, and again, it really has nothing to do with the Gasparino play yesterday. It's the same. You could probably replay the tape from whatever it was 6 days ago when I said this, or whatever, 13 days ago.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny how one sport is this and the other sport is that. And, in the baseball culture, used to be kind of, they're a little more wild blue yonder with it. And I know that they've worked on over the time tightening up coach umpire interactions. Review has helped a lot with that because there's no sense in going out and throwing your hat and cussing and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, we'll go take a look at it. And that, you know, so, but you're just like, if the malicious thing and all that stuff, like, hey, this is enough to throw a guy out. For example, head to head, helmet to helmet.
Mm-hmm.
A guy can get kicked out for a half of football, but you can just cut a guy in basketball. Like, hey, that's egregious too. Blah, blah, blah. You're out of here. See you next game, Brocky Poo. You know, just, and don't worry, when they finally tighten up the rule, we'll have somebody do something stupid and get a game or whatever.
Oh, it'll be the first one.
Absolutely. We're setting a new tone here. Yeah. Red Raider, go sit down. You guys are going to learn to behave. And but anyway, I mean, I go all the way back to Griner's, just the straight, not a swinging an elbow, but throwing a punch and landing it and hitting, you know, flattening the girl's nose. I'm like, you will never do that again. You're going to sit for a game, young lady.
It's been a while since I had watched that play. Like, aware of it, have seen it multiple times, but it's been a while since I have watched it. And
did you watch it recently?
I watched it today. Somebody put it up on the chat line for the bottom line.
Oh, really?
And I had forgotten was what she punched her over was hooking her arm.
Right, it was just like post stuff.
Yes,
it was just too getting tangled up.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing to get. It's arrogant, like, that I can do this and get. How dare you play hard against me?
I'm not going to get to play next week against Kansas State.
How dare you have any sort of contact against me in post defense?
Someday I'll get over being pissed from 14 years ago.
Well, Chuck hasn't either. I don't think anyone really has. So I say keep fueling the fire.
But again, that kind of stuff when it happens, and then it irks me. And I'm really, you know, I'm really not a dude that's you know, I don't spend God bless, but spends a lot of time talking about referees and umpires. You know, like every post game, we're getting a recap. That's fine. That's fine. I just don't spend much time on it. So you'd think I was, if you didn't know any better, you'd think, man, that Gus guy. But yeah, it's like the, I mean, I guess maybe my moral equilibrium here is that I don't spend much time on it. And now that you've got me, now that you gave me a reason to be pissed, I'm going to cling to it.
You're not supposed to bottle up your emotions.
Right.
Gus.
This is
why.
And so I'm going to keep bringing up 2010.
Yes, that glass breaks, and now you can't stop any of the leaks.
Right.
Just rolling out.
Beckel went, hey, go sit the bleep down, because the guy before was doing the sniffy finger, and yeah, they all got warned and all, but, you know, it's like, give them dresses, man. Four games?
This is not a word that I use often. That was soft.
Oh,
it's so soft for Division One baseball.
Give me a
goodness break, gracious. Man.
Give me a break. And I know the warning, blah blah blah, but just give me a break.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can hit us up there as well. Gary's asked, can you explain the tiebreaker between Tech and Baylor, please? Just curious. And that would be your winning percentage against Houston and Iowa State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For Baylor.
Yeah, and I answered that on the thread. But, yeah, there, Baylor beat Iowa State, and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor had a better record versus the first and second place teams than we did. So,
yeah. I'm just glad to have – I mean, yeah, I guess in the – in the scheme of things, you know, going and getting the third seed is still better. But I was just happy that you, and you knew this going into it because Kansas was getting crushed against Houston, that, like, with that factor, you were going to have the four seed at least. And so I'm just glad to have the double bye. That's what I think. That's incredibly helpful, especially with some guys that are dinged up and rest. And on top of it, the way you did it, by just taking care of business. And because that was it was a discussion we had last week. Yeah, you can go through all these outside factors, but hey, just go win the ball game.
Yeah, that was.
And you did. And right now, what the other side of this is, as now you head into Big 12 tournament play, and again, more importantly, NCAA tournament play, your offense looks like it did at the start of Big 12 play. And that's without Warren Washington, by the way, who I think will be back in the fold.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
gets an extra day, gets one day,
yes,
or however you want to look at that, or gets one day less of exposure.
Then you have Jennings that has had some good outings, but I also look at, like you noted, Yolajo, who just feels like every time he steps on the court, he's gotten better and better and is like rapidly growing as a young basketball player right in front of our eyes. And so you add that, because I mean, I have a hard time believing, even if he comes back in the fold and even if he is in Thursday's game, that one, I wouldn't guess he's going to be starting. I would think he's going to – I wouldn't think he's going to be like, hey, play 39 minutes, Warren. We got to get you back.
Somebody's going to get to guard the greatest old man player in the Big 12 who probably had career highs against us, the old guy with a knee brace that looks like he weighs about 320 and has all the old 1972 post moves and just worked us. What was his name? Khalifa?
Yes.
From BYU, if we play those dudes. Somebody's got to find a way to stop him, and Warren was on the floor for that. Somebody needs to go, hey, this is like guarding your uncle in a, over at the Y this weekend, because he's going to do some pump fakes, and you're going to go this way, and he's going to go, lay up another two.
And then if you forget about him, thinking like, oh, well, if he's out it's on the perimeter, I can just kind of drift three. Over. Oh, and he drains one.
Yeah, the old 1968 set shot.
Not because of him. But that BYU team, I think it's – and this is really a compliment to them,
yes,
because they are tough to play and they're very chippy. They're very fiery. I was not expecting to be annoyed with BYU basketball year one. But here I am going, man, if you go there to if the schedule works out how it should and you're in Provo next year, I'm already annoyed at that game.
Yeah, no doubt.
It is it's Mark Pope squad. That's what it is. It's Tech Talk here in Double T 97.3, DoubleT97.3.com. Back with more next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
We're both decked out in our signature stag today. We got the multi-baseball signature stag shirt. I have the Masked Rider little miniature logos everywhere.
Nice, sure. Yeah. Good work there.
Kind of looks...
Masked Rider or Raider Red? So I'm seeing a red stash.
Well, I guess
there.
This is Raider Red, huh? It's not the Masked Rider. Yeah, Raider Red stash. Good catch.
Another stash.
Good catch. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Portman is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Gus, we have a couple of things to review.
Sending myself emails.
And one of them, that voice you heard, actually sent it to us today because he has some stored away.
He's still got some in the chamber.
Yeah, he's like a squirrel with just acorns in the tree, except the tree's his computer. Gus, the first one that we talked about, this was a long view prediction, and I believe if I have this right, we made this in the middle of non-conference play when we said this. So we did the would you take this record game, right? And we asked, would you take 19-10 overall, and would you take 9-9 in Big 12 play? This was a sweep yes, a resounding yes, mm-hmm, from all of us.
Yep.
You go 22-9.
Awesome.
11-7 in conference play. So I think this one you can defend a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because especially trying to play the guessing game in the non-conference, but I'm glad we were wrong.
Yeah. I'm glad 100%, we were wrong. Man, that was, I mean, I felt like it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know,
because 9-9 felt, I mean, yes, and it still is the case. 9-9 would have locked you in the tournament.
Yes, a roster that was thrown together by a bunch of new coaching, you know, new coaching staff and just all that they did. And, you know, we kept hearing through the early fall and kind of the, I used to call it the chicken fry circuit, but just him, you know, the coaches making the rounds, summertime, whatever. You know, him talking about, Coach Mack talking about, hey, you know, basically saying, hey, trust us, which is also, you know, and then I'm all in on the Kool-Aid thing, and give me the 9-9. And I talked about that on the show a million times, like, yeah, give me 9-9, I'm good. And so this is all just, you know, gravy to me. It's fantastic. And think about it, this time next year, 9-9 will mean that you still have two more conference games left.
Yeah, you're like, just get to 10-10. That sounds so daunting.
We're at 18 conference games this year. We're going to 20 next year. It's like the baseball making the jump from 24 to 30 this year. Hoops going from 18 to 20 next year. Yeah, which just means more, you know, more head button and more, you know, I would assume more good competition and just an extra week of all this. Just
like,
fantastic.
What's like
I can't
loud.
Wait to see it. I can't wait to see it because it's got to involve games in December, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Has to. Sure. Yeah. Well, out loud, you're going, oh, it's just two games. But if you're a coach, if you're a player, anybody that stresses over the league, two games to me feels like an entire extra month of basketball.
Oh, I know.
Because it is just that brutal of a league to play in.
Yep. And I can't wait to see it. Like, is that going to involve, you know, a game on December 22nd and one on the 28th?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, like, or are we just going, you know, Christmas afternoon, you know, the 25th and 29th? I mean, how's that extra week? What's that going to look like?
Or I wonder,
are they two games pre-Christmas, maybe?
If there's something wonky with it, like it's mid-December where everybody plays a week of Big 12 play, and then you do whatever you do for Christmas still.
Absolutely.
That you would with the non-conference.
I wouldn't be one bit surprised by that.
There's a layout to that already, which is why I bring that up. I don't love it. I prefer once you start playing Big 12 games that you just keep going through Big 12 games. And I get that there was a reason why they had to do it. That was something that always bothered me with the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Let me rephrase. One of the things that bothered me with the Big 12 SEC Challenge was where it was played. But it won't be like the end of the world.
When it was played, actually, not where, but yeah.
When?
Okay. Yeah. No, I knew what you meant, but I was just making sure.
Were you the one who grammar policed me the other day? Was that you? Was that your brother?
People that were listening to that going, why does he care that they played?
Run, not ran. Where they played it on the schedule.
There it is, on the calendar. Perfect. Yeah, I'm, but that's
I'm going to leave.
I mean, think about what that would do if you get a couple of, pre-Christmas games. Like you said, it's a very Big Ten move. Mm-hmm. On one hand, I hate the thought of a conference game because probably one of those two is going to be in that period when you don't have students. You know, and there's probably a decent chance that maybe of the four games that you'll play in that period there, you won't have there'll be home games, you won't have students.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate that offset, that part of it. Mm-hmm. But you know, on our schedule, that's probably replacing a game against North Alabama and Nicholls State or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's awesome. And you know, I think we'll be in the mid-December thing again, presuming first game December 19th or 15th or whatever. And I think our reaction to that is going to be what we were doing this time last week, going, oh my gosh, conference plays here. Mm-hmm. Fourth weekend of the baseball season. You know, I think that's what we're going to be doing. You know, but think about that. You got Big East, Big 12. You know, we've got that coming to Lubbock. Mm-hmm. We'll have A&M on Big A&M here on Black Friday.
Sure.
On the night before a football game.
Which, again, is what it should have looked like in the Big 12 SEC Challenge in the first place, but which is another thing that I didn't like about it was how they either gave you the matchups that everyone was sick of towards the tops of the conference, or they wouldn't give you Texas Texas A&M. Wouldn't even give you like a Baylor Texas A&M.
Right.
Wouldn't give you Texas Tech Texas A&M. It was kind of a joke.
I would love to know, you know, how much of that, because the story's always been that the SEC around bowl was always like, oh no, we'll tell you who's going where. Mm-hmm. We'll make those selections. You know, we're not throwing a limping A&M team into a game with, you know, Texas Tech or whatever a couple years ago. That was always the talk. We're not throwing Missouri into a game with Kansas or whatever. How much did they try to dictate or get involved with the SEC basketball thing, calling the ESPN and saying, hey, don't put A&M at Baylor. Don't put A&M at, you know, and just kind of protecting all of it.
Why would you need to protect an 0-18 and SEC and Missouri team?
Yes. Yeah, no doubt. And I'm saying that. I'm not saying that to act like A&M needed protecting. I'm just saying, like, just very orchestrated. You know,
the movements behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I'd love to know how much of that is perception and how much of it's reality.
the podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Welcome back into Tech Talk. You got us on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass. We will go straight to the Visual Edge IT hotline, where we have head coach Wes Kittley on, fresh off of a men's indoor national championship. Coach, congratulations to you, to the team. Appreciate you spending some time with us. I'll just ask this right off the bat. Well, how does this one compare to the 2019 outdoor title?
Well, hey, Clint, Gus, thanks for having me. So glad to be back home, which I call with my people. Austin's good, but I'm ready to get back home. It's so special. You know, it's a different group of kids, which makes it really enjoyable because, you know, the 19 team kind of set the precedent maybe, and that culture of us building a program was kind of through their era. To see this group, you know, go and get something done that we honestly hadn't been able to get done. You know, the indoors has kind of always eluded us. We weren't always healthy at the same time or running good at the same time. And to be able to go and do that, it's really hard to win this thing. And you got to have everybody on all cylinders.
Coach, it looked like you had – I mean, you went up there knowing your sprinter speed guys, whatever you'd call it, that had to score, had to fill lanes and score. And it felt like on the first day you got three of the five to the finals of the 60, I think it was, and maybe we're hoping for four, but then you offset that by getting a quarter miler in there, or a 400 meter guy. It's kind of set the stage when I know you were on Thetford Ashby on Saturday feeling pretty good about it, but how did Friday go? Did it go to script?
Yeah, you're really nailing it. I told the kids on our team meeting Thursday night that, you know, we're gonna win this thing, but it's gonna happen. We have to do it tomorrow. I mean, most of the times that we have failed, we have gone into this meet and just not really been ready for the first round. And I kind of alluded to, you know, our regular meets. We come and have regular meets at home, and we run the prelims, and then, you know, we run the final, and we're always just knowing we're gonna make the final. Well, you don't know that at this meet. The final is on Friday almost, and you got to be one of those top eight. And I was hoping for four, you know, minimum in the 60, but those three guys that made it were the ones that I was totally counting on. And then Chamar really in the 400 was a big boost. We were a little bit disappointed Antoine Andrews didn't make it in the other hurdles along with Caleb Dean, but it really went to script. And I kind of felt like Chamar and Antoine kind of swapped out points for each other.
One, obviously, that leads the way for you is Terrence Jones. And that's a guy that has won a lot of accolades, won a lot of races, and won the 60-meter title in this one back-to-back years. What makes him so special?
Well, it's really remarkable for indoors for him. He's 6'4 tall, and to be able to run the boards. And to be honest, people don't know, you know, he's the former national champion in the 60. People remember that, but he's never run the 200 until this year on the indoor. Wow. He has run fabulous outdoors, but he's so tall, we just never have put that kind of stress on him. He's been injured some, and we didn't want to do that. But listen, he, you know, to win this national championship, you've got to have what I call a couple of those 10s. And we had three of them this time. And, you know, with Caleb Deed coming in and doing this deal. But Terrence, he's just, you know, he's one of those once-in-a-lifetime kind of kids.
Tell me the math going into that 4x4, because, you know, I'm up there broadcasting baseball, so forgive me for not being knowing the answer to this. But I was following along as close as I could, and I've been trying to be distracted. But It sounded like you got to the 4x4, and you probably know the exact number, and that's what I'm asking you for, but you got to the 4x4 knowing you needed points. Did you know where it needed to be, at least third, at least fourth, at least second? What was it?
Yeah, really good question, and you better believe I knew.
I know you knew.
You know, one thing that was well, we were ahead by 5.5 points, best – Ear higher best, he got us you know, fifth place in the high jump earlier in the day, which they probably didn't show on TV. But we had those points. But we knew, well, they to beat, you know, it's 10-8-6 is first, second, third. So we knew they have to be third. Arkansas's got to get at least third place to get 6 points to beat 5.5. But anything we did behind that, even if they beat us, well, then, you know, if we got 1 point, then they couldn't beat us with third. So they really had to be third place or better. And we were looking at the worst scenario. Let's say they won. Well, then, you know, we got to get fourth place. And if they got second, then we got to get third, you know, fifth place. And so we just kind of were going down the line. But lo and behold, we ran really well and beat them. And so that's all that matters.
That's awesome.
Well, Coach, you know, you mean so much to the area. I know you love being here. What was the outreach like from everyone after you won the title?
It's been incredible. I think I had 150 texts before the night. I've tried to answer them all. Gerald Myers called me last night, and he didn't think I got his text. And I said, well, Coach, I thought I answered you. So I answered so many. But, no, you know, I have said this. Kirby was there. I had my great friend and booster, Perry and Linda Fuller and Bob Matney, and we had a good entourage of parents there, and everybody was there. But it was special having Kirby there to see that and to be a part of it with us. But, you know, my dream and my plan, I've told him and I've told everybody, was to bring a national program to Lubbock, Texas. I was at Abilene Christian looking at this job from afar, thinking, you know, this is a gold mine. This is the place that ought to be able to, you could win a national championship at. And, you know, it's just a program that Lubbock and Texas Tech, I wanted them to be proud of, and I wanted to bring that to the city. And I think Lubbock and Texas Tech deserve a national champion program, and especially with my people.
I love it, man. We're so happy for you. Can't wait to give you a big old hug, man. I'm happy for you. How long do you get? 5 minutes till outdoor? We're about out of time.
Well, you know, I got woke up early, 11 a.m. I had practice with the other team. So,
all right. Well, enjoy the 2 days off, I guess, right?
That's exactly right.
Congrats, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, congrats. Appreciate your time. Thanks again for coming on. Really enjoyed talking with you.
No, I appreciate you guys so much.
All right, that is head coach Wes Kittley. That is his second title for Texas Tech track and field. First indoor, outdoor back in 2019. I mean, what a great have for Texas Tech. I mean,
yeah, awesome.
I mean, the
great
GOAT.
Fit.
The GOAT.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.